want you to see today is what we just saw in the video, that what we're going to talk about today is not just Jesus' story, it's our story. And that's what we want to talk about today, the overlap between what we see happening in the resurrection, what we celebrate at Easter, and what is going on in our lives here in Southern Ohio today, and how it actually makes a difference. And what I want you to see is that, yes, the resurrection is absolutely positively the foundational belief of Christianity. No matter where you go in the world, Christians are all different makes and models. We got some different preferences, got different styles. But this is the one thing we can rally around, is that Jesus is not dead, he is alive. But not only is the resurrection the founding belief of Christianity, it's the foundation of our hope. It's the foundation of why we hope. It's the basis of hope in our lives today. You know, it's amazing how a story can take such a turn. We were here Friday night, and we had a Good Friday service where we focused on the sacrifice that Christ paid because of us and for us. And it was a fantastic service. We had quite a few people here to commemorate that event. But we left kind of feeling the weight and the despair that the disciples and the followers must have felt, and that heaviness of this man that we followed for so long is now dead, and it's because of us. And we felt that heaviness. But here's the beautiful thing. Just a couple days later, we see the hope that comes with a resurrection, how everything changes as a result of the resurrection. Friday doesn't look as bad anymore. Now we have hope. So today, you may come here feeling the weight of life, just in general. Apply whatever you want to it. It might be the bills, it might be a relationship, it might be some medical diagnosis that you recently got, but you feel the weight of life on you. What I want you to see today, our prayer for you, is that a deeper understanding of this resurrection that we celebrate will help you give hope to your life as well. Let's open up in a word of prayer and we'll take a look at this resurrection story. God, we thank you for bringing us together today. What an awesome occasion for which we gather. God, Jesus is not dead, he is alive. And we are here to celebrate that. But more than just celebrate, we're here to see why it matters to our life 2,000 years later. So God, open our eyes today, open our minds, open our hearts. And I pray that as a result of this resurrection, we would see hope in our own lives and that we would leave here changed. It's in Jesus' name that we pray these things, who we celebrate today. Amen. So when we look at the idea of hope, a secular definition would be something as simple as this. Hope is an optimistic attitude of mind based on an expectation of positive outcomes related to events and circumstances in one's life or the world at large. So basically, a simple secular definition of hope would be, I think things are going to turn out okay. That would be what hope is. When we look at the Bible, the Bible adds a little bit more to that. That's a good definition, but the Bible adds a little bit more to this definition of hope. And in fact, we might better use the word, the English word, assurance. This idea of, I know things are going to be okay. You see, when we say hope, often we think, oh, it might happen, it might not happen. But the biblical idea of hope is, I have an assurance that these things are coming. I have a hope for the future. I have an assurance for the future. Pastor Gary often calls it a know-so hope. I know so that I can hope. So where can we find this hope? Where can we find this in our lives? Just for fun, I turned to where I usually turn for questions, Google. And I Googled, where can I find hope? Just wanted to see what was going to come up. And most of the answers dealt with a few how-to type things on how you can visualize in your life. You can see your life becoming better, and you can think optimistically, and you can see better circumstances in your life. Most of them had to do with some visual techniques like that. Now, these aren't terrible steps, but here's what I want to argue today. That the only place to find true hope in your life, the only place to find lasting hope is in this resurrection story. It's what gives us hope. It is the foundation that we must build our hope on. So we can do all those other techniques for finding hope in our life, but if it's not built on the foundation of Jesus Christ's resurrection, as soon as a storm of life comes, that house is going to be torn right down. So do all the other stuff, but build on the foundation of this resurrection. Let's turn to Luke chapter 24. Thought it was appropriate that we follow Luke's account of the resurrection today, since Friday night we looked at Luke's account of the crucifixion. We're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 24 in Luke. It'll be on your screens if you don't have a Bible. Now, just to remind you of the timeline here, Jesus had died on Friday, late Friday afternoon. They began to prepare his body. They pulled it down. A man by the name of Joseph from Arimathea donated a tomb. They got the body in the tomb. But before they were able to put spices on the body and things like that that they used to do to take care of the body, the sun had set, and so it was Sabbath. For the Jewish religion, you can't do any work on Sabbath, even preparing a body. So that's kind of where we left the story. The women who wanted to do that for Jesus, prepare his body, ended up leaving first light Sunday morning to be able to go and do that. Verse 1 of chapter 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise?" And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest, that is the disciples. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. And he went home marveling at what had happened. Amazing story. Amazing story. Women going out to just do what they were going to do. And they find an empty tomb. Can you imagine the week that these people had had? I mean, just a week ago, as we celebrated here, Palm Sunday, they were saying, okay, and during this triumphal entry, Jesus is coming in Jerusalem like a rock star, and everybody's celebrating. They're like, finally, he's getting the recognition he deserves. But then later that week, they cry out, "Crucify him." And before they knew it, the man that they had followed for so many years, who had taught them so much, who had talked about being God himself, the Son of God, was now dead. What an incredible week. And now to go and to find an empty tomb. They went and they found the stone rolled away. And I want you to remember, keep in mind, the stone was not rolled away so that Jesus could get out. The stone was rolled away so that we could see in. And this is our first basis of hope in the resurrection. As we look at this historical event, the first reason this brings us hope, we find hope in an empty tomb. We find hope in the fact that they went there and there was no dead body, that Jesus was gone. Why does this bring us hope? Because it means that death has been defeated. Death has been defeated once and for all. In all of our technology and our know-how and all of our modern medicine, there's still one condition we can't seem to overcome. And that's death. Death is something that is coming for us all. And yet in this story, we find an empty tomb. We find someone who has defeated death. The women were surprised at this. But the angels reminded them that they'd been told several times what was going to happen. And the angel replied as if they should have known better, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Isn't that a great question? The angels just say, why are you even looking for him here? He's alive. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? It's a great question that we must continue to ask ourselves today. In search of hope for our lives, where is it that we look? And I want you to, I'm going to ask this question a couple of times today. So just in the privacy of your own heart, this is not something you have to blurt out, but be honest between you and God. When it comes to finding hope in your life, where do you look? Where is it that you look? If it's anywhere other than a risen Savior, anywhere other than Jesus, then we are looking to things that are dead or will die just like us. There's so many areas we look to hope in life, but we don't recognize that those things are dead and or dying just like we are. Our basis of hope in the resurrection starts with the fact that the tomb was empty. Those answers that I found on Google, the WikiHow that I looked at had a couple of pictures of things you could visualize. And I found it interesting because you're visualizing you're having a better life, things the way you wanted it to be. They had pictures of lots of money, of someone who was visualizing themselves 40 pounds lighter, a bunch of friends, the perfect job, the dream house. Now here's what I want you to hear me say. There is nothing wrong with any of that stuff. Until we make it the foundation of our hope. And then that's where we take a turn for the worse. Why? Because if the thing that gets you up in the morning is just as dead as you are, then you're hoping in the wrong thing. If it's a house that gets you up, or a job that gets you up, or a relationship that gets you up, if that's where you're putting your hope, those things are just as dead as you are, and so that hope is only going to last a temporary amount of time. It is only in Jesus Christ that we can find a permanent hope. We find true, lasting hope in the resurrection because there was an empty tomb. Now, I know a lot of you are probably skeptics, and you say, now, that's funny. He's simple. He believes there was actually an empty tomb. Here's the thing when it comes to this. I know it seems foolish these days to believe in what some people regard as ancient myths, and we're so much more intelligent than they were in the past. And so we like to explain this kind of event away as, well, it was a spiritual resurrection. It was a metaphor, because people don't rise from the dead, so it must have just been a metaphor. But guys, I actually believe the tomb was empty. I believe in a bodily resurrection. I believe it happened as the Bible says it happened. I believe they found nothing there. The women went to tell the disciples this, but then the disciples didn't believe. And this is what's so funny. This kind of helps me. Because I'm a natural skeptic. You guys know that. Kind of just think that way. And so it's nice for me to see that the disciples had a little bit of doubt here. Because too often, we see these guys as simple, ancient people who were easily duped, who had the wool pulled over their eyes. They don't need all the knowledge of modern man, though, do they? They don't need all this knowledge that we have, all this intelligence that we have to realize that people don't come back from the dead. This was not some magic trick. This was not some illusion. So the guys who walked with him for 3 years were skeptics. And yet, as the events continued to unfold, each of these guys gave their lives for this message. To me, that says, okay, these guys were skeptics just like I would have been. And as the events unfolded, they came to believe it in such a way that they gave their lives for it. I believe that that tomb was empty. And we can find hope as a result, lasting hope, not temporary hope, not a temporary fix, but lasting hope. The risen Jesus then makes an appearance to two individuals walking on the road to Emmaus, a nearby village. Luke is the only gospel to record this event, and from it we learn two more reasons that the resurrection should give us hope. Let's jump back into the story at verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" Isn't that great? And they said to him, well, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women from our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb, and they found it just as the women had said, but they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Isn't this neat, just filled with intrigue? And here's this mystery man that these two travelers explained to him everything that just happened in Jerusalem. And he in turn explains to them why all the scriptures had been fulfilled in Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection. You see that not only does an empty tomb give us hope, we also find hope in God's promises. The resurrection is the complete fulfillment of all of God's promises that preceded that, showing that God keeps his promises. God does what he says he's going to do. Now, these guys were still in sorrow despite an empty tomb because they didn't understand what God had promised. The resurrection points to the fact that all of God's promises will be fulfilled in their time. And I think it's a honest question to ask. Why does it sometimes seem like he doesn't? Why does it seem like sometimes these promises don't come true? Well, like those men on the road to Emmaus, it's two things. Number one, often it seems like God's promises don't come true because we are expecting the wrong thing. They expected Jesus to redeem Israel. They expected him to pay their redemption. Redeem is an old Hebrew word that they would have been very familiar with that literally meant to pay a price for someone's freedom. Now, what's interesting is, isn't that exactly what happened? But it didn't exactly happen the way they thought it would happen. They wanted to see it done with military might and political power and a triumphant king riding on a big horse, I guess, or a chariot. You know, with the trumpets shouting and Rome defeated and Israel reestablished as God's nation. Well, none of that happened. Instead, they got a guy that got the tar beat out of him and hung on a cross. Not exactly what they expected. A suffering servant was no more popular then than it would be now. We want to see somebody triumphant. We want to see a winner, but this Jesus guy just appears to be yet another loser. Someone else who lost. The people expected a victorious king, but they got a suffering servant. They were expecting the wrong thing. The second reason that it looks like God's hopes or God's promises aren't fulfilled is that we want our timing, not God's. We want things to happen on our timeline, on our schedule. What we notice here is that God keeps his promises, but always in his time. God's timing is never too late, and it's never too early. Well, that's hard for me to hear. Ugh. Never too late, never too early. How often have you said, God, just hurry up? And a few of you maybe have even said, God, you need to slow down. You're trying to change my life a little too fast. God's timing is never too early, is never too late. Consider as we look back at the Old Testament, Abraham and Sarah, when did they finally have a child? After they had lost all human hope. After all hope was lost, they said, well, I'm 90, you're 85, we're done. God said, no, you're not. How about Joseph, who it was only that God stepped in and began to work in his life and his family's life after he had been sold into slavery and thrown in jail to rot. It was only then that God kicked his timing in. Or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you remember that story from Daniel in the fiery furnace, when was it that they were protected from the fiery furnace? Was it in the day before? Was it on the way? Was it when they began to feel the heat? No, it was in the furnace that they looked in and they saw four men instead of three. God took care of them in God's timing. And so now we fast forward to these disciples. When is it that now they're going to see the hope that is the resurrection, the hope of God fulfilling all of his promises? When is it? After Jesus is already dead and the hope is gone and all human hope is done. It had to have been God. God keeps his promises and he fulfills them in his timing, not ours. Too often we get caught up on what is going to happen and when it's going to happen instead of just trusting what God said he would do for us. So the travelers had reached the end of their journey. And we pick up the story in verse 28. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did our hearts not burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened us to the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour, even though it was night, and they ran all the way back to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then these travelers told what had happened on the road and how it was known to them in the breaking of the bread. I love that. I love this line from there. When they came to recognize Jesus, did you see what they said? "Didn't our hearts burn within us?" Didn't it sound really familiar, this stranger walking with us on the road as he opened up the scriptures and he spoke of truth? Didn't that sound kind of familiar? Didn't it feel like we were with Jesus again? It's kind of their way of saying, "I knew it was him." The other one go, "No, you didn't. You didn't say anything." They had this feeling as they walked with him. And they came to a deeper understanding of what this resurrection had meant. See, where the last place that we find hope as a result of the resurrection is in Jesus' presence, his presence in our life. How often do you think we miss the presence of God in our lives because we're so focused on ourselves? And we miss God in the form of the Holy Spirit working around us, Jesus' presence in our lives. I love that Jesus pretended like he was going further, but they had to urge him strongly to stay. I want to ask you today, have you urged God to come into your life? Have you urged Christ to stay? If so, then you have the Holy Spirit living in you. And if you are a believer and you believe in Jesus Christ, you're a Christian, you're born again, whatever phrase you want to use, if you have come to a saving knowledge of Christ, you have God living in you. Many of you will never forget the moment like when they were breaking bread, when Jesus breaks the bread for them, and all of a sudden they're enlightened to see who Jesus is. If that is yet to happen for you, that is my prayer for you today, that your eyes are opened and you can see Jesus for who he is, as the Son of God, as your Savior, as not just someone who gave their life but rose again. They were enlightened to see who Jesus is. And if we believe, if we've been enlightened and we see who Jesus is, and we're trusting in Jesus to cover our sin, to reunite us with God the Father, then his presence is with us today. That's where we can find hope. He is with us in all of our circumstances. He's with us in our health concerns, in our financial concerns, in our relational concerns. In our personal mess, in our junk, he is with us. He is in our story. Why? Because he's alive. I want you to see, no matter what you're going through today, and a lot of you have got things I can't even imagine. I'm not going to pretend that I know what's going on in your life. Some of you, there's such a burden on your shoulders and you're feeling it. This is what I want you to hear. When you are in Christ, you are not alone. You're not alone at the doctor's office this week. You're not alone when you get that bad news from your job. You're not alone when you and your spouse have a very difficult conversation. Even though you feel all alone, you are not alone if you are in Christ. Why? Because the tomb is empty and he's not there. It is in the resurrection that we find this hope. Because if the resurrection had not happened, you would be alone. You'd still be following just a great teacher. Now, there's a lot of wisdom there on how to live your lives and things like that, but he'd just be like Buddha or Muhammad or Confucius. He'd just be another dead guy in a grave somewhere that you happen to follow. But that's not the case here. And as a result of him being resurrected, you are not alone. He's promised he would send the Comforter into our lives, the Holy Spirit. And if you have accepted Christ into your life today, you have that in your life. So here's the thing as we wrap up. You have a choice where you look for hope. I asked you earlier, just between you and God, where do you most often look for hope? And if it was anything other than Jesus, then you're looking to something that's dead or dying. You have a choice where to look for hope. Doesn't always have to be drugs. Doesn't always have to be sex. Doesn't always have to be power that you find in a job. Doesn't have to be food. Doesn't have to be shopping. All those things are dead or dying. You have a choice today where to look for hope. And here's the thing too, guys. This is for believers and non-believers alike. Some of you have not come to Christ at all yet. I urge you to look to him for the first time for your hope. But some of you had and you've done it years ago, but for some strange reason, you keep looking to hope for hope in other places. You keep trying to find hope in some very strange places in life. I encourage you to look to Jesus. We find true lasting hope by building on the foundation that is this thing that we celebrate today in the resurrection. We find lasting hope in an empty tomb. We find lasting hope in God's promises. And we find hope in Jesus' presence in our lives. And so here's one of those promises. No matter what happens in your life, you can have hope. You can have hope. Notice I never said once here, and this is not part of the promise. I never said your circumstances would change and everything would become all rosy and great and smiley. In fact, that's probably not going to happen. That's when we need the hope the most. Because all this life is temporary. And because of the resurrection, we can focus on the eternal. We can have a bigger hope for life. And that's why I want to encourage you to come join us again next week. We've got these cards sitting in the front and back. If you want to grab a couple to give your friends, if you're a regular attender here or a member, you got one of these either in the mail or you got it last week. But it tells you the series that we're starting next week that we're calling Hope from the Ground. I would have liked to go into a lot more detail in how we get hope from the resurrection. So instead of doing it today, we're going to be doing it over the next 6 weeks. We're going to be taking a look at how, because of the resurrection, all that anger that we deal with can actually make its way to forgiveness. That depression that seems to be a cloud floating over you, because of the resurrection, you can find hope. And all that worry and fear and anxiousness that you seem to wake up with every single day, you can find peace. Not because of some self-help tricks that we're going to share with you, but because the tomb is empty. And God keeps his promises, and Jesus is with you. That is what's going to give us hope. Then we're going to take a look at greed and addiction and unhealthy relationships and how to apply the resurrection to those as well. And to see that we can have hope even in the dirty, nasty mess that is our lives. We can see hope begin to spring up. I hope you'll join us in the coming weeks to continue not a new series, but what we started today in talking about this idea of hope that comes from the resurrection. I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to close in a couple songs. And I want to invite you, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ today, I can't think of a better day than Easter. I mean, Christmas might be, I'm going to make that second. Easter, by far, the day of salvation, that you can see how you can have new life in Jesus Christ. There's a couple ways you can invite him in today. You can come up here and you can talk to me or Pastor Val or one of the other people that'll be up here. You can come and you can pray at the altar. There's cards inside the chairs there with some pencils. You can just fill that out. Give us some contact information and let us know that you want to invite Jesus Christ into your life today. And drop it in either this box or the box that's by that door. Just drop it in there and we'll follow up with you sometime this week. Or we'll be hanging out afterward. If you want to just hang out and come find us afterward, that would be fine as well. Here's the point, though. I encourage you, respond today. When you hear about where true hope comes from, you don't just keep walking, do you? So maybe some of you already believe, and you need to honestly get on your knees before God and say, God, I've been looking for hope in all the wrong places. I recognize that you saved me. I recognize that you're the only place I can find hope, but I've been looking in all the wrong places. Help me learn to look to you day by day. So I invite you, no matter who you are, isn't it wonderful? We're about to sing a song called Just As I Am. That God doesn't give some sort of application for you to come to him. You can come to him just as you are today. Let's sing that.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.